Hello, hello, I'm Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. How's everyone doing this fine day? We've got a game tonight, a pretty good one, actually. And we are brought to you by MyBookie. I will tell you more about them in a moment. But what we need to discuss is, I'm going to pull it up here on MyBookie. Seattle travels to Arizona, and Arizona is getting 6.5 at home. Which immediately you think, short week, Thursday game, home dog. Sets up pretty well. That's a pretty nice bet for the Cards. Cards are playing better, even though they don't have a quarterback. But impressive performance. You know, they're still hanging around. Defense is okay. But I think this is a terrible matchup for Arizona. Now let's break it down on both sides of the ball. When Seattle has the ball, I assume we'll see Rawls, but I hope we see Procise and just stop even trying to run. Yeah, I told you about this the other day, but get five athletes out there that can catch the ball instead of a Rawls type, who hasn't been very impressive in my opinion. But I would imagine they'll try to run the ball in the first half, and as they usually do, and eventually just scrap it and throw it all over the yard, and Wilson will start putting up points. And it's kind of been the Seattle formula. It'll be interesting to me what Chandler Jones does in this game. He'll come off either side. Seems to prefer to come from the offense's right, and that's a better matchup against the Fetty. But it'll be fun to watch Dwayne Brown in his second game with a stiff challenge against Jones. So that's something to watch. Where are they going to line up Chandler Jones? I would think they'll come after Wilson a fair amount, but if you miss on the blitz and, you know, he beats you with scrambling, that's a problem. It's a heavy man team, and usually that's not a good formula against a Wilson or a running-type quarterback. I would think a player like Reddick would be athletic enough to sort of spy him to some degree, or Buchanan or somebody like that. But the big thing you always talk about when Arizona's defense is, what's Patrick Peterson going to do? And in two receiver sets, I think you'll see him on Baldwin, but history's shown us that Peterson doesn't follow Baldwin in the slot. These guys play twice a year. A lot of data here to go off of. I think Baldwin has a big game and only sees Peterson 10 snaps, 12 snaps, something like that. And the rest of the secondary is very questionable. You know, and Baldwin, I think, has a huge advantage over anyone but Peterson. So why not go three wide, especially with Procise and Graham? And yeah, you don't block much and you're not very physical, but you got a lot of matchups to your liking. Just let Wilson beat you or win it for you and control the entire offense. The other thing too, and this is sort of surprising because their linebackers and strong safeties and these guys are pretty good players, but tight ends have been lighting up the Cardinals. And I can see Jimmy Graham having a big day. So Wilson, Graham, and Baldwin all have big days and eventually just stop trying to run the ball. That brings me to the other side of the table here. Can Arizona then, with Drew Stanton leading the show, just lean on Peterson like crazy again? I bet not. I mean, I don't think that formula is going to get you to keep up with Wilson, Graham, Baldwin, etc. Not to mention, he just had 37 carries 4 days ago. I know he's a freak, and you know he hasn't had many throughout the year, but how effective is he going to be? And Seattle have some bad numbers against the run, but it's almost all from the first month of the season. They've been much better lately. I think they control the line of scrimmage. I think the pass rush will be certainly in Seattle's favor. So maybe we see more Ellington as the game goes on and make some easy throws for Stanton. They don't have much of a tight end presence. But even with Ellington, Wagner's having an awesome year. We talked about that yesterday. KJ Wright. These guys are all high-end coverage players. Fitzgerald hasn't put up huge numbers with Stanton, that's for sure. I would think sort of in a Peterson-like situation. And by the way, the Seattle plays a lot more man coverage than probably many realize. I hope that they stress that tonight and show everyone how that's working for them. Don't throw Sherman's way. He probably won't travel with Larry, especially into the slot. But they have some other quality options. And I don't trust Stanton at all. I mean, a home dog on Thursday getting 6.5 per my bookie is always enticing no matter what's going on, and you do see some weird things. But I don't like, on paper, the matchups at all for Arizona. And therefore, I am going to take the Seahawks. So, as you guys know, I've been doing podcasting for a very, very long time. Before most of you even knew a podcast worked, to be very honest with you. And ever since I've been doing podcasts, people are always asking me, you know, who you got in this game? You got the Cards, or you got Seattle, or you got Dallas or Atlanta? That'll be a good one that we'll preview tomorrow. Well, let me tell you this. Where you are betting is just as important as who you are betting on. That's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts. Seriously, it's just two business days, which is unheard of in this business. You know who's going to win, right? I tell you that. Lay down some cash and win big today. And I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you guys to make your way to mybookie.ag. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting. That's a feature I like a lot. You know, you start watching your favorite team, be like, boy, they don't have it. And maybe put a couple ducats against them, or vice versa. And the most rewarding player perks in the business in an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. So, join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus, which means that they're just giving you exactly what you give them, which is doubling your money. It's free money, folks. Use promo code Locked On to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay, as usual on Thursdays, it's still Twitter Thursday. We preview the Thursday night game, and then we take your Twitter questions. And I'm just scrolling down my timeline, and Hancock asked me, do you value Ryan Tannehill as a franchise quarterback? Is his ceiling top 12 or as good as a top 5 like Stafford? This was a guy I was really excited about coming into the year, more so than I would say most analysts were. I thought him and Gase were starting to do good things together. I think it's one of these underrated, catastrophic injuries. I wonder how much that slows his progression, and it's a crucial year at a crucial time in his career to not be able to play at all in the second year with Courtney with a coach. But my hunch is Miami looks at him like he's the long-term answer, that we have this one blip with Cutler, move on, keep Matt Moore, stay moving along with Tannehill. And I think that's the right move. I mean, I think that he has a bright future. I thought he did a lot more good things than people realized last year. Again, first year in his system. So, I'm a believer, yes. But I really wish he would have had this year. I mean, it's a much harder eval now. But if I'm Miami, I'm getting a guard and helping other ways. And Tannehill would be my quarterback unless somebody happened to fall in my lap, which I don't think was going to happen. So, what's his ceiling? Top five is pretty darn strong. I mean, Stafford to me is a better prospect coming out of school. Every step of the way is certainly a total stud now. You guys know I love Stafford. That's a rough one to ask me against. But can Tannehill be a top 12 type quarterback in the league? Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's probably his ceiling. But there's a lot of ability there. I mean, it's not like, I mean, he can, you know, fulfill his vast abilities. And Gase, I think, can get it out of him. So, there you go. I'm a Tannehill believer, I guess, is the bottom line. Stockton. Could Dallas make some noise in the playoffs without Zeke? Well, who's to say if they would have him or not? I mean, we're really rolling on down the line to see if they would. I don't know if they could get in the playoffs if he doesn't play more than this week. NFC's really tough, man. I mean, listen to yesterday's show. I mean, there's teams, Washington, Atlanta, Carolina, Rams, or Seattle, that are right there with Dallas. And this Atlanta game is going to be big for them. I'm excited about Dallas-Atlanta. That's a headline event. I don't think they can make noise in the playoffs in the NFC without Zeke. Although I think he's a little bit less important than he was a year ago because Dak is getting better and better and doesn't need as much help. So, but the answer is no. I mean, to make noise in the NFC, I mean, to win a couple games, reach the NFC Championship game, go to the Super Bowl, I absolutely think they need Elliott. So let's just, to answer your question, no. Also, here it sits Thursday, and we'll know more tomorrow, but I'm worried about Dez's ankle. That's a lot of people saying that's a high ankle sprain. Ugh. Okay. Micah asks, who's the best D lineman, linebacker, and defensive back right now? I assume he's talking about in the NFL, who the best player at each position is as we speak. I think Aaron Donald is the clear best interior defensive lineman. And that's a broad stretch. You know, you can look at the tall 3-4 defensive end types. But if we call them interior defensive linemen, guys that pretty much line up between the tackles, 300-pounders, I think it's clearly Aaron Donald. If you look at the edge guys, I think it's Von Miller. These guys are Hall of Fame-type paces of their careers. And actually, all of them are, as you would think. I mean, they're the best players in the league at their respective positions. Wagner's been great and has always been overshadowed a little bit as a phenomenal second-level linebacker. And maybe he's been a little bit better than Kuechly this year, but I still think Kuechly is the linebacker of this generation. That he's a Ray Lewis type of force out there and unbelievable against the pass. Best defensive back, I think, is Patrick Peterson with Jalen Ramsey nipping on his heels. And that's as a corner, cover corner. We'll be watching Peterson tonight, as I mentioned earlier. Who's the best safety in football? I mean, I probably still defer to Earl because of the body of work. But Harrison Smith's putting together quite a body of work, too, and does not get nearly enough credit. He's right in that conversation as well. John Murray asked me, why does Green Bay fall to pieces whenever Rodgers isn't playing? Steelers, Panthers, Vikings, Raiders, Texans, usually competitive when QB is hurt, but Packers totally crumble. Capers and McCarthy surely must go, question mark. Well, I say this all the time. I mean, Rodgers, to me, if I had any quarterback all time, I would take Rodgers. I think he's the most special player at the position that's ever lived. So the drop-off from Bradford to Keenum, or even Cam to Anderson, or Carr to EJ, or Texans situation, or Steelers situation even, especially at this stage of Ben's career, just isn't as drastic. I mean, he's why aren't the Bulls as good with Michael Jordan? I mean, I really think it's that type of level. Why aren't my Pens as good with Mario? I mean, Crosby, the Cavs aren't quite as good with LeBron. So, I mean, that's part of it. It's just, he's a special, transcendent player. However, I do have some problems with Capers. Doesn't seem to bend his scheme. Has been doing the same thing for a very long time with not so great results. I also think the offensive scheme isn't real scheme-driven. It's a lot of one-on-one situations. You beat your man, and Aaron Rodgers will make plays, and we'll go from there. You know, it's not like a Andy Reid or a Sean Payton well-designed offense. And also, I think it hurts this franchise a ton that the front office rarely, very rarely, goes out and gets people from outside the organization. And we just saw him do it and cut Martellus Bennett, which was a weird fit from the I thought it was going to be a great fit, honestly. And all year, for fantasy reasons, I kept starting him. This is his week. They're going to be fine. But boy, he looked out of place week after week and drops and didn't adjust well to the situation. Weirdly, though, they moved on from him. I'm not sure why that makes him better. But with Hundley in there, and I still think Hundley can be okay and have a good career. But, I mean, I guess that answers it. I mean, Rodgers is just too special. And I've heard people say he's the ultimate deodorant for a lot of things that smell in Green Bay that the rest of us don't see. And I think that's really well said. Okay, Jay Gerber asked me, what's the biggest area the Raiders need to improve on in the second half? I'm starting to come around on the offense. I think Cook has been a really good addition. Lynch looked a little better. I trust the line. I think Carr's starting to get past the injury, starting to have a better relationship with the new OC, maybe pushing the ball down the field a little more, hopefully. Is Cooper going to keep up with these drops? Maybe, but I think the offense isn't fixed, but I'm at least encouraged of what's going on offense. The defense, however, has been a worry from day one, and I don't think it's getting any better. I love Khalil Mack, but how amazing is it that Khalil Mack won the defensive MVP last year, and they had the fewest sacks in the league, the Raiders? I mean, you're the biggest stud in the league coming off the edge, and you still had the fewest sacks in the league. Or that he was able to put up defensive player of the year numbers despite no one else getting home with one-on-one matchups when he's getting all the attention his way. I still think the secondary is very much a work in progress. I think the linebackers are slow and very vulnerable, and I don't see another difference maker in the front except for Mack. So I guess how do they improve in the second half? And I do think the Raiders will have a better second half than first half of the season. But I think it's going to be shootout central. You know, I mean, I really think that they will have to really score to outbeat people. I mean, to win games. That there's Carr, you better put up huge numbers for this to work. And could happen. All right, Joshua Silber asks, if Rodgers were to retire today, where would he end up on the all-time quarterback list? Who is he ahead of and who is he behind? You need to do an all-time list in the offseason, and I will. I think I have each off, you know, every offseason. And that's two different questions for me, and I know I'm cheating, but if there's 32 owners, I'm one of them, and there's a pool of everyone who's ever played the game. And I'm picking first. I think I'd take Rodgers. Now, does that mean the all-time quarterback list he deserves to be number one? No. I mean, to me, that has to be Brady, then Montana, then you start talking about the other guys. You know, that the resume that Tom Brady, for example, has put together as opposed to Aaron Rodgers is very much in Brady's favor. But who do I want as my quarterback on Sunday, on Monday night, in the Super Bowl? Or who do I not want to prepare against as a defensive coordinator? This isn't a slight on Montana or Brady, and it's not just a Brady versus Rodgers situation. I just think Rodgers is the most special player that's ever played the position. I also would be higher on Marino than most of you probably. And that's not just because of Pitt bias. I mean, again, special passer of the football. Really a big Elway fan as well. So if I'm doing a list, the guy that doesn't get talked about enough is Drew Brees, by the way. Side note. I mean, he's the top 10 guy. Rodgers is definitely a top 10 quarterback. If I'm doing a list of everything they've done in their career to this point, resume, I would probably go Brady, Montana. Rodgers would probably be 5 or 6 or so. But if we're picking teams, he's who I want. Folks, that's going to wrap up a Twitter Thursday. Again, check out mybookie.ag. Use our promo code LOCKEDON. I like Seattle tonight. I'm a little hesitant because of the short week syndrome on the road, but I just think Seattle is a terrible matchup for Arizona. Some good Twitter questions from you guys today. Tomorrow I will pull up my bookie and we will go game by game, pick everything straight up and against the spread as usual. So spread the word. Take care. I'm at Williamson NFL.